We'll be spending the next 45 minutes or so talking with you about the health of our Badger State. How healthy are our residents? Dr. Javier Nieto, Survey Director of the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin. It's called, the acronym is SHO, chairs the Population Health Sciences at the University of Wisconsin Medical School. Dr. Nieto, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
And Kristen Malecki is Associate Director of the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin. And Kristen, good to have you with us as well. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting us.
Well, we're really pleased to have you here. Give us some background information on why do we have this survey and
Well, SHO was established, as you said, in 2008 as a health survey to establish by the Wisconsin Partnership Funds and the School of Medicine and Public Health, the University of Wisconsin, to learn about the health of the people of the state of Wisconsin. So when you go to the doctor's office, the doctor asks you a few questions about your health and perhaps make some tests to check how your health is and whether you're healthy or you have some conditions that need require attention or treatment. What SHO is doing is this, but the population level, trying to see how the people of the state, what's their health situation and how health differs according to where you live and whether some populations or groups of the population are less healthy than they should or could be if perhaps because they don't have access to certain goods and services or venues to be more physically active or they have problems with access to healthcare or they're exposed to certain environments that are not particularly healthy because of chemical pollutants or whatever. This is necessary to develop and evaluate policies and prevention programs that the state and the healthcare professional develop in their communities. SHO will be an annual survey, so that way we can not only compare communities across the state, but also see how things change over time and also be as a basis to evaluate, to assess whether policy changes in healthcare policy, for example, the ongoing debate right now, and there will be some kind of healthcare reform. We don't know exactly how that's going to be, but so how is that going to influence people's access to healthcare, satisfaction with healthcare system, and ultimately their health? So you need to have state of the art data to be able to monitor how health in the population changes over time. The program is similar to national surveys that do this on a national basis, but with a state focus, and the ultimate, as the only state doing this in the country right now, our goal is to help making Wisconsin the healthier state.
And Kristen Malecki, it's quite an elaborate set of equipment and quite a large number of people who are involved in this going around the state. You might just describe what happens or what's going on that way.
In terms of how we run the survey itself. Yeah. So in order to kind of get our participants and establish a representative sample of people who will participate in the survey, we have kind of what they call a three-stage plan. So first we randomly select communities across the state by geography and certain demographic characteristics so that we have 60 communities across the state that are representative of the people
of Wisconsin.
Of the people in Wisconsin. And then we go from there and within each community, we identify households using a list of addresses. So at this point, we don't even know people's names or who lives at these addresses. And from there, then we have our field team go out and knock on the door and explain the survey, explain the goals for both research and practice, public health practice, and then hope that people will agree to participate in the survey.
And so that's how it works. And Brian in Pewaukee's on with a question or comment, so I just want to go to him and we'll see what's up there. Brian, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for having the show.
Sure.
I'm a chiropractic physician, and I'm not aware of SHO. And I even went to UW-Madison. I feel kind of out of the loop here. And I'd like to think that when you research chiropractic care, you're going to learn that we're probably going to be healthier when there are 90% more chiropractors and 90% fewer medical doctors. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't know. Dr. Nieto, what do you think?
Oh, you're putting me in a tough spot right here. And we definitely think that all healthcare is not the responsibility of doctors exclusively. And absolutely, you are right. I mean, we need physicians for sure. We need nurses. We need preventive and public health specialists. We need chiropractors. We need, you know, there's healthcare needs. Health is a very complex thing, and the determinants of health are very broad. And in fact, I would say that sometimes, in terms of understanding and trying to prevent health determinants, you need the input from all sorts of professionals outside even the traditional health sciences, and you need people who understand economy and understand employment and understand policy and understand law and business and environment. So, you know, it's in part that's the spirit of the show, to try to look at the broader determinants of health, not just the traditional medical-oriented aspects. I don't know if I answer your question.
I'm wondering, maybe it would help if you talked about what happens when, let's say, somebody's selected, there's a family selected. What happens when they agree to participate in the study? And maybe we turn that to Kristen Mlocki.
I was going to just add, maybe in to reflect that question, we have our survey is about, If you agree to participate, the total amount of time that we ask you to participate or contribute to the survey would be between 3.5 or 4 hours. But that is spread over three different kind of
time periods.
The first being an hour to an hour and a half in your home. The surveyors come in and they ask you general health questions about your behaviors, your access to care, insurance, questions about preventive care that you may or may not be receiving. The second component is a self-administered questionnaire where we follow up on that, but participants are free to answer those questions on their own. And the third is a physical exam component, which includes blood measurement, urine measurement, physical exam. They do body composition, as well as we ask more sensitive health questions about reproductive history and other types of things. So first we do a home interview. There are some questions individuals can do on their own, and then they're asked to come back into the survey center to participate in the survey. And we have two exam trucks that go throughout the state. So if you're not close to one of our stationary sites in Madison or Milwaukee, a mobile exam truck will come for that exam component and be in your community.
Okay, so those trucks are running around Wisconsin, essentially.
They are. Right now, they're headed up to Taylor County, or they should be in Taylor County right now.
Uh-huh.
Another group is out in the West Salem area.
And so they will, and people know, do you just go in and approach people and ask them once you've selected a household, I assume?
We do. So the survey is targeted at all adult individuals across the state of Wisconsin age 21 to 74. So our goal is that anybody within the household that fits those requirements would agree to participate in the survey.
Now, what about privacy issues here? How do you guard the privacy of an individual? Certainly that's has to be a very important part of this whole thing.
Absolutely. So privacy is in management and administration of the survey, privacy of the individuals is our number one concern. So we collect the information. We collect individual information about, you know, where they live and other things. And that information is put into an administrative database and held separately from all of the other health information that we have. And all of our programs and policies are set up to establish individual confidentiality. Because what we really want to do is pool all of the information on the individuals together so we can start to see patterns and paint a picture, not necessarily track that individual's information over time, but they become part of a bigger piece and puzzle.
Well, now I'm wondering if, let's say, when you come in and do the health checkup, so there's blood work done and that sort of thing, and you find that a person has, I don't know, some sort of condition that he or she may not have known about, mm-hmm. What happens then? Do you counsel a person?
We inform them. We have a protocol. We have a procedure as to if a person has abnormal values and, say, blood pressure, depending on the values, we actually may require, advise that person to go immediately to seek care if the levels mm-hmm. are very high. If the levels are moderately high, we send this information to the participant in a letter that they can share with their physician if they want, and for their own information, we send them their blood pressure, their weight and height and body mass index, and some lab work like cholesterol level and glucose, and so that it's potential benefit for the participant in that they obtain this information that that will help them help their physicians to assess their health status as well.
All right. Talking with Dr. Javier Nieto, who is Survey Director of the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin, and Kristen Malecki, who is the Associate Director of the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin. Really pleased to have them both with us today as we talk about what's going on relating to this survey work, and talk a little bit about maybe some preliminary. I don't know if you have you had some got some preliminary findings. We can talk with them about that as well. You may have a question or comment. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Dave in Reedstown next. Dave, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks, Larry. I frankly find this show rather hypocritical. Just last week on the same network, Joy Cardine and guests were chuckling about and giggling about how you can get chocolate-covered bacon on a stick and all this deep-fried stuff and cream puffs at the Wisconsin State Fair. And I think all the county fairs are the same way there. Why are our governments pushing junk food on people? There's no healthy food available at these fairs. And then even in all our convenience stores, if you look at the shelves after shelves of total garbage food that people are eating, making people sick. And so I find the state, I find it hard to believe that they're really interested in improving health. Thank you.
All right. Well, Dr. Nieto, we'll turn to you.
Well, I couldn't agree more with the caller about the dismal situation and the as a citizen and as a consumer, I suffer the same. You know, you drive to Chicago for a visit on the weekend, and you want to stop to eat on the highway, and there is no way to get anything decent. Well, that's precisely what we are trying to help solve by assessing that situation. We are planning to conduct, we are now in the, I think we're going to get funded a project we proposed to the partnership funds to assess, to do surveys of the, what we call the nutritional environment in the communities. We are planning to go to grocery stores and restaurants, local restaurants in the communities we are visiting to survey participants, to assess precisely what the caller is alluding to, the availability of healthy foods and healthy foods and different levels of pricing, freshness of the vegetables that are being offered in convenience stores and or grocery stores, caloric value of the menus offered in local restaurants, etc. Because we hope that we believe that, that a strong determinant of the individual's health and health behaviors and cholesterol levels and levels of overweight and obesity are strongly determined by the fact that these healthy foods are simply not available or are too expensive in certain communities. And that's precisely what our goal is, to document that and to help first of all, call attention that in a scientific and manner that this is actually a problem, and whether it's a problem in more in certain communities than in others. So there's the important disparities in these issues across the communities in the state, particularly in certain urban areas and certain underserved rural areas, and give policymakers and public health specialists the means to use that as an argument to implement change, and then monitor how the effect of whatever changes occur. So I couldn't agree more with you. Whether you think that this is hypocritical or not, it's just entirely up to you to think that. But we are really trying to help with this survey.
And Kristen, Lucky, let's get a comment from you.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't have much more to add other than what. I think that's exactly it, is that we need better surveys and documentation of a lot of these issues that are often anecdotal in terms of, people eat bad food, which leads to their health, but we often don't have the data and infrastructure to validate that. And so that's exactly the goal of SHO and being able to get good scientific data to support some future policies to prevent.
Dave, thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. We're talking about the health of the Badger State with our two guests today. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy you're listening in here as we take a look at the health of the Badger State with Dr. Javier Nieto, Survey Director of the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin, chairs the Population Health Sciences at UW Medical School. Kristen Malecki, Associate Director of the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin. Our guests, if you'd like to join in, please give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Also, you can email us, and that address is talk@wpr.org. And Kirk in Poisipi is up next, so let's go to Kirk. Hi, Kirk. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. I just had a quick little question. This survey that you guys are talking about, how does one get signed up to take this?
Yeah, there are probably a lot of people that are wondering that question.
Yeah, we would love to be able to sign you up, but the way this works is we actually come find you, and so it's in order to keep it scientific, keep it random, and to make sure that we have as much of a representative sample as possible, we select your household randomly, and then we come find you. But we hope that maybe we knock on your door in the next year or so, and you'll agree to participate.
Where have you? Where have we gone so far with the survey? What cities or communities have we visited?
We've pretty much been all over the state.
Oh, we have. Okay.
We've been in from up north in Brown, Buffalo, Chippewa County, down here to Dane, Dodge, over to the west side in Eau Claire, La Crosse County, Kenosha, Manitowoc, Milwaukee, out of Gamey County. We've been pretty much all over the state. If you name it, we've been there within the last year and a half.
All right. Well, Kirk, I thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And sorry we can't get you signed up for the actually, it turns out to be a pretty good deal for the people who are part of it, because you get a pretty good medical checkup here, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and we also offer participants a monitoring incentive for their time and reimburse costs.
And reimburse costs and so forth. Okay. Well, let's go to Mike in Milwaukee next. Mike, hello to you.
How are you doing today?
Great, thank you.
You guys were talking about these surveys and all that, but as a working public sector, I found my copays were so high, you know, all the money coming out of my checks and the copays I had to go to the doctor. Well, I got unemployed, and I'm on the state health care, and I just can't believe how cheap some of these copays are. And I'm just wondering how much that affects the health care from standpoint of people that have the insurance that can get health care and then ones that don't.
Yeah. You know, I'm wondering, that's probably, Kristen, I'll bet you that's part of the questioner process is determining if the person has insurance or not.
Absolutely, and that's a very good and timely question given the economic downturn that we've had and the shifts in people's health care. So we've been doing this survey and monitoring over time, and what we'll be able to assess, we don't necessarily know the answers to exactly how different access to care at different levels impacts your health, but this survey over time will be able to track kind of how these changes and people's different changes in different situations will be impacting their overall health as we go along. So we do have a number of questions on access to care, what type of insurance you have, kind of the providers you have, and how that may change over time.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Nieto?
For example, we have learned with preliminary data, we're still analyzing the data we have collected so far, but our data so far indicates that about 10% of respondents to our survey had not had any kind of health insurance in the last year. That 9% of the respondents feel like they needed medical care in the last 12 months but couldn't get it. One third of them because they couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
So this is important data for us to assess a very important issue and to help monitor how. Presumably, healthcare policy changes address these problems.
Yeah. Mike, I thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Are other states kind of looking at Wisconsin and checking on how we're doing here with this whole survey?
And there is a lot of interest in the nation about what we are doing here with this survey. CDC is very interested, Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta and National Center for Health Statistics. They have their national surveys. But this is the only state in the country doing this survey, thanks to our Wisconsin Partnership Funds that were made available to the School of Medicine and Public Health. There have been attempts to do these kinds of surveys in like New York City did a survey, a one-time survey, a few years ago, and I believe Baltimore in Maryland is doing something. California is trying to do it, but they don't have the resources. So I think the very unique nature of this survey is going to put Wisconsin in the map in the nation in how to do this kind of scientifically based and detailed assessments of the needs of the population.
Let's take another call, Bill in West Salem. On to you now. Hi, Bill. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you. I wonder if Native Americans have some, let's say, genetic propensity to gain weight more than more newly arrived European Americans. Can you explain that?
Well, we don't know. There's some indications that may be the case, but there are others who think that the most important factor is the acute change in behaviors and lifestyle habits in these populations. The same with Hispanics. That populations have been very physically active until very recently, and then suddenly they live a more sedentary lifestyle and adopt unhealthy nutritional patterns that perhaps combined with a genetic background that have developed over centuries and generations for a very different lifestyle is just and create this situation right now. We used to live as a human species in general, not just Native Americans or Hispanics, but in general, where we were hunters until very recently in evolutionary terms, and then suddenly, in the last century or so, we have all the food we want. We don't need to move anywhere. We can just live on our couches and use the remote controls and call the pizza guy to deliver on our couch. We don't even need to go to the door if we want to. So we don't need to move. We eat as much as we want. Food is very cheap and very accessible. And technology provides to, we don't need to open the windows of our car anymore. We just press a button and the thing goes down. We go to an airport sink, and we don't even need to open the faucets. We put the hands and water falls, and we don't need to move. So this is, again, as our genes are still programming us to eat as much as we want in case next week we are not successful in hunting. So I think that's the clash between our genetic background. And again, this is something that affects all the ethnic groups and not necessarily just certain minorities.
And I'm wondering, Kristen, are we sure to be sampling from the various ethnic groups? I mean,
absolutely. So our sampling frame is to get a full representative picture. So we do establish that we would be able to recruit certain communities. Some Native American communities may opt to not participate in the survey, and that's their option to not participate. But we certainly are visiting every community across the state.
Okay. Bill, thank you. And Arlene, we turn to you next in Wausau. Arlene, hi.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I am wondering why this survey is limited to 75. I happen to be 85, and I consider myself to be quite healthy. I live independently, and my whole group of friends are doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So why would you not be interested in the elderly?
We are interested in the elderly. We just didn't have the resources to address this sector of the population, the same as to the children. We are very interested in assessing the health of the youngest segment of the population. We just didn't have the resources at this point. We have to limit recruitment to 21 to 75-year-old at this point. But the plan is to expand. If the survey is successful over the years, and we hope it is, we will be doing. We will not have an age limit on the to participate in the surveys. We like enhance the National Health and Nutrition Examination Surveys, are based on which this our surveys model recruits from age zero to from infancy to the elderly population. We do every household we go to we do we enumerate we do a listing of everybody who lives in the household, and even though we don't recruit outside our age range right now, we are very hopeful that we'll have the resources in the future to go to these other age groups.
All right, so there you have it, Arlene.
Give you a very, very interesting concept of how you can live to be this long and expect to live much longer and be healthy and active and independent.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and I think over time that's something we'd like to do with our follow-up surveys of participants over time, is to really understand if you're enrolled in our survey at age 74, how long do you live and what makes you healthier, and so why are you living so vibrantly in
10 years later?
10 years later, and why others aren't. So I think that's those are the types of questions once we establish this infrastructure we'd be able to address.
Oh, mm-hmm. Very good.
Right.
I hope you'll remember me later.
All right, Arlene.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call very much. Well, keeping an active mind is one way, I think, that is often thought of as extending age. And here's Arlene listening in, participating with an active mind, and I'm really glad to have her participate. Carol in Wisconsin Rapids emailed us and says that she and her husband were among the first participants in the survey, and are delighted to hear the update. They're wondering, when will the survey be finished? And talk a little about the available data. She says, we enjoyed the survey and were treated with courtesy and respect. So it's good to hear from someone who participated.
Well, I appreciate that. And the survey is supposed to be indefinite. The Wisconsin Partnership Fund was established to as an indefinite resource to bring health and research and health improvement programs and prevention programs for the state for foreseeable future. And we hope that if this survey is successful, we'll continue to have these annual surveys in perpetuity, basically.
Okay, so we'll have a great record of the state of Wisconsin over time, which is, mm-hmm. should be really valuable in helping people make decisions on things like health
and future generations. You know, the people who are contributing generously to with their time right now is the in part because their findings from this survey, thanks to their generous contribution, will help their children and the children of their children to live healthier lives.
Yeah. Well, Kristen, can you talk a little bit about some of the, before we go back to the phones here, maybe some of the results of the survey? I mean, we sort of talked a little bit about them, but...
Yeah, we're in the process of having preliminary data available. So some of the interesting things we're finding is that perhaps 63% of the participants think they're overweight. And then actually when they're actually measured, you find out that 72% of the population is actually overweight. So this is kind of one of those areas where people think they think one thing and then they find out another. But then when you really ask them, about 74% of the state of the population would really actually like to lose weight. So we're finding out all sorts of interactions in terms of what people think versus what people really believe when we actually measure them. So we're really grateful to all the participants who have been here and are appreciative of positive feedback that we just got. Dr. Javier Nieto talked a lot about kind of some of the information in terms of medical care and medical
right.
access. I think with the upcoming, maybe some other information, with the upcoming swine flu epidemic that's coming, we've found out that 43% of the population had a flu shot in the last year. maybe another piece of information is 16% of the people have not visited a dentist or dental hygienist for a routine checkup or cleaning within the, even the last 3 years. So we're finding out important information about prevention and people's behaviors and all sorts of other bits of information.
Well, let's go to Rana in Prairie du Chien next. Rana, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Good afternoon. Oh, it's good morning yet, I guess.
Good morning.
Just wondering if your speaker could talk to, you know, how much of what I guess you're going to find is genetically based, and we really just don't have a lot of control over genetics, but I know a lot of it is environmental. So, you know, what do our genetic factors have to do with this and how they limit us is what I'm wondering.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's unique about this survey compared to other surveys that are being done currently, like telephone surveys and so forth, is that we actually collecting blood samples in these participants who wish to contribute with that. Of course, it's not required, but and we separate DNA that is currently stored, separated and stored in a central laboratory. Of course, completely de-identified, so this data would not be linked to an individual participant. And that could serve in the future to do studies that look exactly what you said. What as these people over time become sick, or if they have certain conditions, we can look at how much of their is related to their environment or their behavior or their choices in lifestyle, or how much is due to the gene and to the genes, and how much is just the interaction of those two types of factors. That's what makes this survey very unique.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate that call. Well, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention researchers are currently in Dane County in Wisconsin to take part in a national health and nutrition examination survey through September. This though is a different survey from how is that different?
Well, they're taking a national snapshot of the country, and so what is similar, we can't visit every possible community throughout the state of Wisconsin. They can't visit every possible county throughout the nation. And so what we have here in Wisconsin, while we're modeled after that, we have a much more specific look at Wisconsin issues and our population as a whole. And it's an opportunity for developing research that looks at the uniqueness of the Wisconsin population.
And hence came every now and then to Wisconsin. They came to Witt County a few years ago. Last year they were in Milwaukee. This year they are in Dane County, actually. Mm-hmm. But currently, as we speak, they're probably hearing us and in their mobile tracks as well, right at this moment. But you know, other years they don't show up here. They have the entire nation as their frame for study. It's always unique in that gives us much more power to discriminate the health needs of the different communities across the state.
I want to go back again. We talked a little bit. I asked the question about what if somebody's sick, you determine that somebody has an illness. But just in general terms, maybe you could talk about how you the follow-ups that you might do with people who have participated in the study or who will participate in the study.
Well, certainly right now we're hoping to keep everyone engaged and involved in following the study by producing newsletters to inform them of updates as we get preliminary data coming out of the survey. We're generating that. We're hoping to send everybody birthday cards thanking them for their participation. And then as resources and funding allow, over time the survey was established so that we could get a longitudinal look and that we could do follow-ups and either specific follow-up studies for those participants who are willing to participate, or just a simple phone call. How is your health on these general health conditions now over time? We talked to you at this point, and now we're following up.
And frankly, how difficult, having done survey research myself over time, I know it's sometimes difficult to have cooperation. What's been the experience so far?
Well, this is an extremely complex operation, as you probably imagine, as we describe. And this year has been combining the recruitment with actually the developing the procedures and the methods and the field operation, and learning how to be more successful in recruiting and how to incentivize participation, and also how to make the survey known in the communities as a legitimate operation, which is, you know, people are increasingly suspicious in modern times about, you know, issues of confidentiality. You mentioned earlier identity theft, these mm-hmm. things that are becoming more and more of a concern. So we need to reassure people of their legitimacy. So we have been developing procedures to contact health and local authorities in every community we go to, and we talk to the police, we go to the health authorities, we talk to the community leaders, and then we try to do some media awareness campaigns in each community we visit in. So as we go, we are making our survey known, and so people are, you know, they may decide not participate because they don't have time, but at least they're assured that this is not, we are not trying to sell anything. We are going to seek in any kind of private information that we are going to share with others. And so we are, this has been taking, you know, it's a complex process, and we are learning, and we have successfully recruited almost 600 people. Which is a good number, given this, mm-hmm. this is our first year, and we hope that once the program is in full operation over time, we'll be recruiting 800 to 1,000 people every year.
Oh, so as many as 1,000 a year? That's
our goal.
That's an ambitious goal.
And we have an excellent field team who are out there working really hard to help meet your needs as well as our needs and getting people to participate as part of the survey.
And anything in conclusion you'd say to somebody when one of the survey people comes to your door? What are you going to – we heard some, I think, some good words from Dr. Nieto. What about from you, Kristen?
I would just encourage people to please participate in this very important health survey. It'll help us better understand the priorities for addressing health needs in the state right now as far as we move forward. And the lessons learned are pretty much invaluable for addressing health care needs in the state.
Well, we'll look forward to another visit when you have some more data to talk about. And I appreciate it. In the meantime, thank you both. Is there a website to go to? By the way, or a spot where people could go just to learn a little more about the process?
Yeah, there's a website that is show.wisc.edu.
Show.wisc.edu. Well, that's easy enough.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having us. It was a pleasure.
Thank you both very much for being with us today. Dr. Javier Nieto is Survey Director of the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin, or SHOW, and Chair of the Population Health Sciences at the UW Medical School. Kristen Malecki, Associate Director of the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin. And again, if you want to find out some more, go to www.show.wisc.edu, and you will find out some more. Appreciate them being with us today. Thank you again very much. Coming up, we'll be taking a look at some consumer protection issues. What are the big consumer complaints right now here in the state of Wisconsin? Janet Jenkins coming back for a return visit here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.